Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica, I'm just like kind of a lost soul. Like sometimes I come off as a wild child, but there's just something really sweet and vulnerable underneath all this posturing for me. And I just want you to know that, like, you know, that you can too be a wild child if you want, but I don't think you have it in you.
I just don't think I can talk like this for a very long time and just act like I'm just, like, so emotionally deep when really I'm just, like, the most shallow character that has existed on television.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, everybody. We're here recapping this episode of Dawson's Creek, which, like, let's all be honest, is a shit show. It's a fucking shit show. We are like peak sloppy, messy Dawson's Creek. And I'm not talking like fun mess. Season 2 is fun mess. It's like, I'll get all up in that dirt and like rumble around a bit. This is like, someone hand me a washcloth, please, because I've had enough.
Yeah. I think this one is so far the worst of the five that we've watched.
I agree completely. And it's because it's mainly focused on fucking Eve, who no one gives a fucking shit about.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally, like, the focus of the episode. It was, once again, it wasn't, like, the worst 40 minutes of television that I've ever watched in my life. I'm sticking to Dawson's, all Dawson's Creek is good Dawson's Creek. But, it was, once again, I feel like they were trying to achieve Sex, She Wrote again. Like, kind of that vibe, like a...
Yeah.
A genre episode, and it just doesn't really work.
No, it was almost like a detective movie episode of Dawson's Creek, and it was just like, what are we watching? Yeah, and why am I supposed to care about Eve again? Can someone remind me why the fuck I give two shits about Eve? Because I don't.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you why, because of the last like 2 minutes of the episode. That's why we are supposed to care about Eve.
It is so frustrating, but we'll get into it. First things first, how's your day? How's your week been?
My day and week has been pretty fine. I'm really trying to hunker down, get some real work done. Mm-hmm. We've been super busy at my job at the FBI. So just trying to get stuff done with that. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, I mean, we're okay. We're mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. You have a vacation coming up.
Thank God. I am in desperate need of a vacation. I've been calling this my vacation-itis week, where I can't really concentrate on anything because all my focus is on how I cannot wait to, like, have some relaxation time. It's been a long time. Like, I've taken a little bit of time off and everything, obviously, but I haven't had a true vacation in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, need it, man. I just need to just sit back and do absolutely nothing. So I'm looking forward to that, and
yeah. You deserve it, girly. I'm very excited for you in that hot tub.
Oh my God, the hot tub. Let me tell you, if you're getting an Airbnb and you're not getting a hot tub, what even are you doing? Like, that is, to me, a hot tub is like the peak of luxury. And I'm not talking about like a hotel hot tub where you're sharing it with all these other filthy bodies. No, thank you. I am talking about private hot tub outside, relaxing. We bring our little we have like a little Bluetooth speaker that is like surprisingly loud. Like, it's pretty good. I think we got it for like $20 on Amazon, and we bring that and we just like put on either a podcast or music, and it's great.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, like, I'm sure that you more likely put on a podcast to the hot tub, yeah, which is like not romantic.
No, but considering like my husband and I both listen to a shit ton of podcasts, like that's kind of our version. Like, what we'll do is when we go on a plane, either we'll watch, this is like so cheesy, whatever, I'm going to say it anyway, I don't care. Well, like, if we go on a plane together, we usually will pick out stuff to watch. So right now the plan is to watch Sopranos because I've already seen it. Will and I had been watching it. I think we were up through like season 3 or season 4. And then he like got lost interest. But then, of course, the movie came out and he wants to see it. So mm-hmm. we have to finish our watch of The Sopranos. So that's the plan. So what we do is like he'll bring his laptop and we share earbuds. And so like, because otherwise you can't really, you know. Right. So we share earbuds and we watch the same thing. So one time when we went to San Diego, we watched all of oh my God, I'm blanking on the name. He's going to kill me. What is it? It's this like, it's this show. It was like a mini series. It was one season and it was this island and there was a bunch of murderers. It was fascinating. Harper's Island. That's the one. And we watched all of that on the plane. And so like, that's what we like to do on the plane together. And we both listen to a lot of podcasts. So it's like, I don't know. It's what our thing is. It's not like everyone's thing. But we listen to music too.
Yeah. I mean, that doesn't sound too icky romantic, Jess. Like, if you think that,
I thought the sharing the earbuds thing was like too romantic for some people. Probably not.
I think that's just you.
We just sit on a plane and make out the entire flight, Sarah.
No. No.
Especially not with masks. Can you imagine? We just touch masks to each other's faces. It's so adorable.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Yep.
No, none of that. Well, you know. This is our send-off. When you guys are listening to it, Jessica will be on her vacay. Mm-hmm. I will be up to something. Mm-hmm. I guess I could share.
I don't see why you can't. It's up to you.
You guys are my friends.
It's your personal information.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of a surgery this Monday when this podcast is released. Nothing too worrisome. My calcium was raging, and apparently having too much calcium is a bad thing.
They tell you when you're a child that you're supposed to have strong bones, and you were just trying to do that.
My body was overcompensating and making too much calcium, and then under further investigation, my parathyroid hormone was raging as well, which means that my parathyroid, which is a rice-sized gland,
it's that small,
that sits on your on your thyroid. So like a thyroid is like a butterfly shaped gland in your neck, and then on the tip of each wing, like top right, bottom right, top left, bottom left, there's like a parathyroid gland, which like I said is rice sized. So apparently this tiny rice sized gland can really F up your body and make you have raging calcium like me. And
all the cool kids have it.
She at least one has got to go.
Yeah.
At least one. We'll see when I actually get into surgery I know it's like the issues on my left side. We'll see if both have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening on Monday. Coincidentally, the same day that Jess is going on her vacation.
We've already said we're very good at scheduling, but we're like extra good at scheduling.
Yeah. So it should be fine. It should be fine. I'm fine.
Everything will be fine. Okay. Nobody needs to worry. Fine. Everything will be wonderful. And then we'll be back. No worries. Like we said, next week you'll get this week, this episode, you'll get normal. Then you'll get a bonus podcast that is Dawson's Creek related, but it's not an episode recap. Following week, back to normal. Back to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no, you won't miss any weeks. I will just be not recording for a week, which will be very weird for me. But it'll be fine. We'll get through it.
Yeah. Do you want to get into some, this episode
Indian
of Dawson's
Summer.
Creek?
Yeah, season 3, episode 5, Indian Summer, which isn't really a nice thing to say anymore. We start off with Pacey holding a small fan. He's, like, swearing. They're having a really bad movie night because it's, like, so hot. It's, like, an abysmal day, basically.
Okay, so, like, this summer is typically like the end of summer or like a early fall day where it's like especially hot.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, basically. It's like you think it's basically like this time of year where you think it's going to be cooler and then all of a sudden you get a really, really warm day.
Yeah. So everyone's like sweating their fucking ass off throughout the entire episode.
It's gross.
And you know some poor little intern had to run around with a spray bottle and spritz everybody like a cat on a countertop. It's like ridiculous. It's like everyone is like really, really wet.
Yeah. It's not great.
Not even the good kind. So Pacey is like effing around. He's like, I used to do this as a kid where you like talk into the fan and you're like,
Everybody does that. That's if you didn't sing the Doug song into your fan, who even were you as a 90s kid? It's like, ooey, ooh, killer tofu.
Oh, yeah. I could tell that'd be a good one.
That was a good one to sing into a fan.
Dawson is like, I mean, everyone's really irritable. Like, Dawson can't figure out, like, film noir. And Pacey is just saying, like, I don't know. Like, we used to be cool. We used to have cute girlfriends. And now we're losers, like, sweating in a smelly room on a Friday night. Also, Pacey's drinking apple juice in this scene.
It's a strange beverage for
a
teenage
bold
boy to
choice.
Drink.
Yeah. Bold choice.
Yeah. And basically they have this whole conversation about how Pacey says that like most guys in the world are just big dumb idiots willing to sell their soul to get some. Not a really pretty picture of men, but okay. And so Pacey's like had it. He leaves. We see Dawson turn the TV off. He looks out his window and all of a sudden he like notices lights on around Jen's house.
Well, it looks like a flashlight.
Right.
So that's a little strange.
Yeah. So he calls the police. And good thing. Good job, Dawson. Excellent. Call 911. Report it. Calls the police. And then he like goes to investigate and he bumps into Eve climbing out of the house.
Yeah.
Hi, Dawson.
Hi, it's just me. I'm just, you know, walking around. So he cleans up her wounds, and Eve jokes and says that her and Jen are having a torrid love affair. Eve wants to, like, make out, and Dawson's like, first you need to explain why you were breaking and entering.
Right, yeah. Like, Dawson's asking a lot of questions, and Eve certainly doesn't like to answer questions.
Yeah.
So she's trying to avoid it. Like, let's make out. Like, let's
I know
like,
what
do
Eve
something.
Stands for. Evasive.
Oh, there you go.
Nailed it.
Right. So he basically says, like, you're going to start talking or I'm going to talk to the police. And then in turn, Eve blackmails him and says, if you go to the police and tell them, then I'll report you to, like, the Education Bureau or whatever about the PSAT.
Bitch.
And you and your quote-unquote Sweet Valley High extras that you call friends are going to get in trouble.
The audacity of this bitch. She is the one who fucking gave him the tests, and now she's being rude about this.
To Eve's point, he was the one that took it. So she says that she has no problem making everybody feel uncomfortable, and like I said, she blackmails him. And Doug knocks on the door.
Of course,
and
it's Dawson, Doug. Of course, it's
Doug. Doug. Okay. Return this of Doug. Is the same actor, it is. Correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Same guy.
I thought so. It looked and sounded like him. I just wanted to make sure mm-hmm. it's been
it wouldn't
an
be,
entire season.
Yeah, it wouldn't be odd him. If they recast him, but yeah.
I mean, but like, seriously, it like we last saw him in season one, so wouldn't it be crazy? Like okay, you're going to yeah. sit on the sidelines for entire season two and we're going to get you back?
It'd be like if they brought Bodie back.
Maybe. I guess anything's possible now, but we've seen Doug sooner than we've seen Bodie.
Yes. Oh, most definitely. We've definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bodie went and took like that bus to the other restaurant and we never saw him again.
Never will. No, who knows?
Okay.
I'd love
so
to.
So he, you know, covers for Eve and he's like, oh, I thought I saw something, but it was nothing.
Yeah, it was Jen Doug, like, sneaking in the window.
Doug like flashes his light. He's like, okay. And then Dawson goes back upstairs. And of course, Eve is gone.
This will teach you to put a fucking ladder up against your window, Dawson. Please kick down the ladder. Like, this is dangerous.
Yeah, it's time to take down the ladder.
Especially if you're like seeing people getting like B&Es, like kick that ladder down, bro.
Maybe that's Dawson's preferred In-N-Out method.
The ladder?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why you would want to do that when you have a fucking front door, but you know, okay. Whatever.
Let's talk about like the one great thing about this episode, and that is Jack and Jen's friendship.
And that is like, we keep banging this drum, but like to me, that is the redeeming quality of season three so far is Jen and Jack. Yes. Like they make a great pair. They have like such a cute moment. They're laying on a blanket in the park, looking at the stars.
Yeah, this is apparently what they do. And I think it's adorable.
I do too. Jen says it's perfect. And she says that a girl could do a lot worse than hanging out with Jack. And Jen says she'd rather be doing this with Matt Damon or Ben Affleck. And Jack is basically, it's interesting because this entire episode is Jack pushing Jen to like get a boyfriend or to date basically. And he says, you know, it is possible that this could happen. You know, you could do this with Henry. And Jen is like, a freshman, the innocents are the ones that run you over like a Mack truck.
it kind of is true because like with like a bad boy, you almost expect that they're going to be a dog.
Yes.
But like with like a sweet boy that's like, you know, seems like he checks all these boxes. Yep. When they hurt you, it hurts so much worse.
Because you weren't expecting it.
Exactly. Yeah. So Jack is like, but he worships you. And she's like, you know, he's just a teen boy. He'll worship anything in a Wonder Bra. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, but anyway, I'm like already sleeping with the best looking guy on the football team. And best friends are nothing to sleep at. And then she talks about how, like, when she first met Joanne Dawson, she was, like, really envious because she's never had, like, that sort of relationship.
Yeah.
Because sex always gets in the way. And right. The good thing about their friendship is that sex will never come between them.
Yeah. And this was so great. Like, this is exactly what we've spent the last three seasons talking about for Jen is we want her to have a friend. We wanted her to have a confidant.
A real friend.
Exactly. Someone that she wasn't going to eventually date, you know, and Jack is it for her now. And I love their friendship. And I think like
I do too.
This is one of the main redeeming factors of season three so far is just seeing their friendship. And honestly, as much as I love Jack and I like appreciate him giving her advice and being there for Jen, I think she's right. Like, why are you trying to push me away to make me find a guy when like best friends are also amazing thing to have? Like, I'm not, he acts like it's like, oh, well, you'd rather be dating somebody or you'd rather be on a date with somebody right now. But like, that's not true. Like, you can have both. Like, there's nothing wrong with spending an evening with your best friend, you know?
Yeah, but they spend like every night together. So I think that he's feeling like a little insecure that like maybe that he feels like he's holding her back. Like maybe that like she would be happier elsewhere.
And it's also definitely like it's a him thing too. Like it's definitely like a, I'm trying to think of the word for it.
He's projecting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the last person that Jen was involved with?
Wasn't it Douchey Trey or whatever? What is his name? The homophobic religious guy.
Gosh, I know who
cares what his name is, but
no.
You know who I'm talking about though?
Vince. But no, not Vince. That's the other guy.
No, Vince is not.
Yeah, okay, not Vincent. On. That guy was on the docks. Yeah, it definitely was that guy. He was the last guy she dated. And then they broke things
off. So it's been like a really long time then.
Like half a season, probably.
Yeah. So she, I mean, she needs to date somebody new.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, though, I'm enjoying the her and Jack stuff. Like, I don't want to lose that. If anything, I'd like a love interest for poor Jack. Like, we haven't seen anything for him.
Yes, of course we want a love interest for poor Jack.
I'm just saying, we've seen plenty of love interests for Jen, and I'd like to see some for Jack, too. But yeah, the cute moment with them. We'll get more from them later. Meanwhile, at the docks, Joey's cleaning a boat, and of course, freaking... ugh, this jerk-off guy, Rob, is watching her, and he's like, oh, take a break and hydrate yourself. He gives her a soda. That's not going to hydrate her, by the way.
Yeah. The guy's name was Tyson.
Tyson. I said Trey. Close enough.
You were very close. Yeah. But, okay, so this is, like, what's so confusing. So he offers her a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
But last episode, it was a Diet Pepsi. And then later on in this episode, another Diet Pepsi is shown.
So we have competing sponsorships here.
Who are you sponsored by, Dawson's Creek?
Maybe here's the thing. They're probably not sponsored by either, but they're trying to get sponsored by both of them. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we'll just put both in and whoever... speaks to us first, we'll go with.
Also, they're trying to get the Minute Maid sponsorship. Yes. Minute Maid.
Isn't it Minute Maid? Because it takes a minute to make it.
So wrong.
I'll look this up. It is Minute Maid, but it's Minute Maid like a maid, lemonade. Like a cleaner.
Weird.
That's how it's spelled.
So they're really trying. So he, So then he is asking her out. Apparently this happens like every single day where he invites her to the movie and dinners. And she says, ask me again in 2 years when I'm legal. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, some other little lady is going to take me up on the offer and you're going to be jealous. And she says, I can live with that. And then he starts spraying her with the hose, and she gets very upset like this, as if she's like the Wicked Witch of the West.
I think the thing is she doesn't want to entertain any of this. Like, yeah. He's sexually harassing her at this point, and yes. It's her boss, which makes it, I mean, worse. It's already sexual harassment, but it's worse. And she's underage, and he's not. And so, like, there's many, many, many red flags here. And yeah, this is just infuriating. Like, I think at the beginning of the season when we were introduced to this character, I feel like you thought there might be, guessing it was going to be a Joey and him situation?
Yeah, I said that it's a potential new love interest
for Joey. So are you happy that she's sticking up for herself and, like, not dealing with this guy's fucking bullshit? Because he's
Like, I'm happy that, you know, she's not falling in love with, like, the first person that she sees. Right. Like, she still has those Joey standards.
Yeah.
I like that she's sticking up for herself. Later on, I like how she handles herself with Andy.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I'm liking what I'm seeing. This is interesting. So Dawson is asking around to the resources that are available to him, the school secretary and the strip joint manager, information about Eve, and the secretary's looking up even the in the database, and like nobody's of that name is there. There has never been an Eve Whitman enrolled. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the strip joint manager calls him out for being 16 and underage, and you should not be here. And if you go to school with a girl, then she should not be here either. Yep.
Which we've already said. Isn't in school. She worked at a strip club. It doesn't make sense. So mystery. We'll see what happens with this.
So I feel like at this rate, this is Eve Whitman's not her real name. Like, I feel like it's probably a fake name, but it doesn't even matter because she didn't even go to school there.
It doesn't matter either way. My guess would be like Eve is her first name, but Whitman isn't her last name or something like that, you know?
Or her last name. I don't know. Like, nobody's really named Eve.
Maybe it's like Evangeline or something.
Oh, fancy.
You know, ooh, she fancy.
We get a Henry and Jack scene.
Yeah, so Jack doesn't want to practice in the heat, and Henry doesn't want to get into trouble. But then, of course, he sees Jen, and he, like, loses it. He can't talk to her. He just, like, you know, gets frozen.
I mean, that dress should not be allowed at school. That dress is like a sex dress.
Yeah. And on top of it, like, she's eating this like bomb pop that is just like so sexual. It's ridiculous. She's like eating this ice cream and she walks up and she offers a lick to both of them. Fucking disgusting, even in non-COVID times. And Henry can't even answer. He just like shakes his head. And so Jen's just like, all right, see you later. Jack comes up with this plan and he says, what if you didn't have to ask her out? What if your first date was just fate? Two people happening to be at the same place at the same time.
Right. Well, I mean, I would say that if it happened naturally, it's kismet. If it's arranged, then it is a manipulated situation.
Yep.
Yes. But, you know, Henry is desperado and he needs help.
Yeah, and I think that, like, Jack thinks this is a good plan. He feels like he's doing a good deed. Jen will disagree later, but that is how Jack feels. Meanwhile, we're back out on the streets of Cape Side, and Dawson runs into Dougie, of course. And Dawson, I love this. Dawson comes up with this lie. He's working on a screenplay with a cop protagonist. He's stuck on the part where the hero's trying to find the femme fatale. How would I go about finding her? And this is like, Dougie's like, well, you have to know who your enemy is. Who is this girl? And Dawson says she's a lost soul. She comes off as a wild child. And Dougie's just like, oh, easy. Easy, go to the laundromat. She has to get clothes done.
Yeah, it's not a terrible idea because she does need to get her clothes washed. I mean, big assumption that Eve does not have a washing machine, but
right,
sure.
Knowing she's like a drifter, though.
She's a drifter. So yeah, she needs to wash her clothes. So he stakes out the laundry machine.
So ridiculous.
Yeah, Pacey comes to join him. I can barely concentrate in this scene because I was too distracted by Pacey's horrendous sandals.
I don't remember them. What did they look like?
They were disturbing. They were like, I don't know. They're like the type of sandals that you wear to...
Are they like old white men sandals where they have millions of straps?
Yeah. And like, yeah. I hated them. They're like chunky little sandals. Like, you wear them to, like, with a fanny pack and, like, khaki shorts.
Yes, I'm picturing a polo. It. Oh, they're like dad sandals.
Yeah.
Are they mandals? Are they considered mandals? I think they are.
Yeah, and his little, like, chunky feet were out. I was like, no.
I don't want to see man toes most of the time.
I was like, Pacey, what are these shoes? So Pacey's like, Dawson, you're obsessed with this. And he's like, well, don't you want to know about Eve? And Pacey's like, I haven't even met Eve. Like, I don't, like, no, he has, but he's like, I'm not obsessed. And he goes, some women who will come into the movie set that is your life and function solely as a day player. They'll show up, they'll know their dialogue, they'll hit their marks, occasionally steal a scene or two from you, but they'll always and forever remain a impenetrable mystery. Yes, that's not everybody in your life will take up an entire chapter of your book. Maybe some people will just take up a few pages.
Mm-hmm. I think this is an excellent point by PC.
Yes, yes. So, but Dawson wants to figure out all the lies. He wants to know who this girl is. And PC thinks that they should distract themselves with going to a video store. And then asks about, like, hey, did you get that advice from Doug to go to the laundromat?
I love the idea that this has happened many times. And every time, Dougie's like, instantly, laundromat, I got you, buddy. Yes. Like, smarts up here, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah, but so basically, they spot Eve getting the same, like, ice pop.
Why is everybody eating bomb pops?
I don't know. And he says that his dad's approach is better because now they're going to follow Eve.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough, I guess, that they're just...
I mean, it's a little different from advice. The advice was, how can I find Eve? Not, right. What should I do once I find
exactly,
Eve?
Exactly, so we're back on the docks here, and Dickface Rob needs service on his daddy's boat. He's on a date, and she says he's gone overboard on the CK1. Joey does. I love that line. And he says his date is wearing nice skin-tight clothes. He's going to get some tonight. Were you expecting it to be Andy?
No, but I'm not, like, it wasn't that
You pretty
surprising.
Much knew it was going to be someone we knew, though, probably.
Yeah, like, probably. I don't really think I think about it so much, like, in the moment.
I'm like Sarah, tell me every thought that you've had while you watch
this. I just, like, I just watch. I'm like, ooh, yeah.
Sometimes Dawson's it's nice Creek. To be a passive viewer of things.
Yeah, because.
You don't have to think actively really, about it.
Yeah, I'm just, the first time I watch is for the fun.
Yeah.
It's for funsies.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Andy comes out. She's looking super cute.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, I understand why Andy would find Rob appealing.
Yeah.
So, apparently she was at the country club with her dad because her dad's thinking about joining the country club, and she ran into Rob, and they already knew each other because he went to prep school with Tim.
Right, which this makes sense to me that, like, yes. You would make that connection. He already, like, his family is well known and well established, and we know
a senator.
Exactly. And to Andy, these things can be important. Obviously, she dated Pacey, so they're not the end-all, be-all. But, like, mm-hmm. She's like, oh, he comes from good stock. Like, he knew my brother. Like, seems great.
On paper, I think that they would be a good match. Right. Like, I think that they probably have some things in common.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to go to Harvard. I'm sure Rob went to some ritzy Ivy League school because their family paid.
But why is he working at, like, the docks then?
I think it's, like, just, like, a side business.
A summer
and
job
he
or
really
something.
Doesn't work. I don't think he really works because he has money. I just think that this is, like, something that he does.
I bet his family owns the place and he just, like, is managing it or something.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, and, like, I think to somebody like Andy, dating a senator's son is, like, very appealing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, like, yeah, like you were saying, like, they're of good stock. So, like,
yeah, especially if her problem with Pacey was that she felt like he wasn't motivated enough, like she mm-hmm. had to be the one to push him. If she's dating somebody who's gone to those types of prep schools and all of that, she probably feels like they're on a similar path in the future.
And if she knows of him through her brother Tim, then it's not like she can ask Tim anymore, like, how was this guy?
Yeah.
But the fact that it's like, oh, this is my brother's Tim prep school buddy, like, I mean, it kind of feels like you already know him. So so I'm not upset with Andy for going on this date because she's not privy to any of this stuff, really.
No. My problems come with her later in the episode. But for right now, she doesn't know anything about all of that. And mm-hmm. so Joey asks where they're going, and he says they're going to the movies. It's too hot to do anything else, almost anything else. Ha ha ha. And he, like, tips her and he puts it in her shirt. I fucking hate this. She gives it back to him and she's like, save it for bail money, which good on you, Joey. Like, we know Joey could use the money, and I just appreciate how, like, she's a proud person and she's, like, not going to take shit from anybody, even if she needs the money.
Yeah, I love also how Andy, like, is waving ferociously at Joey, and she's just like, bye, Joey.
Bye, we're going to have so much fun.
Poor Andy.
Bye.
Yeah. So we cut to Henry, and he's, like, at Jen and Jack's spot with his own blanket, with, like, notes on his hand of what to say, and Jen creeps up behind him, and he's speechless once again, and she's like, are you okay? One gulp for yes, two gulps for no.
That was so sweet.
And then she's like, one gulp, good. And then she's like, what's on your hand? And the only thing that he can spew out is, I think you're awesome. You look awesome. You smell awesome. Everything about you is awesome. I just wanted you to know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, here's the thing. the thing that I don't think Jen quite understands, because, and to be fair to Jen, is like all she sees is he's speechless. So she doesn't really know his true feelings because he's not able to express them. But like, it's very obvious that Henry is not just like some freshman who will have a crush on anybody. His crush is for Jen. Yeah, but what does
he really know about Jen?
He doesn't know much, right? Like it's pure lust at this point. Right. But you know what? Here's the thing. He probably has heard her reputation. He's seen her cheerleading. He knows that she's one of a kind. She's unique. She's not just like a go with gal, right? Like she forges her own path. And so because of that, like maybe that's what he's attracted to. But yeah, so Jen is like catching on and she's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm just, you know, hanging out. And Jen says she's waiting for Jack. And Henry says Jack won't be here. He sent me instead.
This was weird.
And this
he
was,
blew it right here.
He did, because this is when Jen realizes, like, the jig is up. Jen realizes what's going on. She says she knows that he's new at this, being, what, 14, 15? And she said, and here, this is the thing. These lines are the reasons that, like, people stan Jen. And, like, I am here for season 3, Jen. Even though all the writers are getting everything wrong about everything else, they are getting Jen and Jack correct. You know what
who,
I mean?
Yeah. Who is writing for Jen and who's writing for the rest of the crew?
Because I feel like this Jen is the Jen we know from season 1. You know?
Right.
Season 2 Jen was all over the place. But like she had shades of this. But like this is back to season 1 Jen where she sticks up for herself and she says, dating is a consensual activity that involves prearrangement. So you can't skip asking me. If you want to ask me out, ask me out. Like, this isn't a date because I would have had to say yes, and I didn't say yes. And I think that, like, I don't think Jen dislikes Henry. Jen just dislikes the fact that she wasn't even involved in this. No one told her. It was like she was duped. She was told one thing, and so she expected that thing, and then she arrives and it's something else. And she just, like, doesn't appreciate this, especially because she knows Jack is involved. And Jack is her best friend, and he shouldn't be doing this to her. And I agree with Jen here. As much as Henry is a sweetheart, I agree with Jen.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the door's not closed. She literally said, next time, don't skip the part where you ask me.
Exactly.
So that still, to me, leaves the door open.
She did say next time.
Next time, So they, Pacey and Dawson are following Eve, and they find her going into a boat where she changes out of her typical swimsuit top and shorts into, like, this little pink dress. And Pacey wants to follow her while Dawson wants to check out the boat. And, like, we get to see the boat. There's, like, clothes everywhere and food and candy wrappers. Dawson finds a picture of a mysterious blonde woman and puts it in his pocket while Doug is there and tries to arrest him. But once he sees it's Dawson, then he doesn't get arrested.
Yeah, I love Dawson Leary. Why am I not surprised? Let me guess. Research for your movie? I love this. He's like, oh, you know, I'm just like, this is someone I know's boat. Like, I'm just hanging out. And he's like, yeah, it belongs to Mr. and Mrs. whatever the hell in their late 80s. Like, you're not friends with them. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's been some crime in the marina recently. Somebody stole a speedboat.
Ooh, wonder who that was.
So obviously that speedboat that Eve borrowed from her boss the day that, like, that big party was taking place.
Can you imagine if Dawson had been caught on that? Like, that would have been so fucked. Like, he was already pissed about crashing his dad's boat, but if he had, like, legitimately got caught on a stolen boat,
he would have been royally fucked. And aside from that, like, he wants to know, like, do you know anything about it? Dawson lies. And Doug says, you're a good kid, but something's definitely going on, because all of a sudden you're the boy who cried 911. You post thinly veiled hypotheticals to an officer of the law.
And Dougie gets off on calling himself an officer of the law. Just call yourself a fucking cop. Like, all right.
Yeah. He mentions the femme fatale. He's like, there's something going on and you're not telling me. Meanwhile, Pacey comes down and he's like, Deputy Doug is in the house. And this is a very strange conversation between the two of them. It's almost like whoever wrote this episode had only watched one episode of Dawson's yes. Creek, and it was in the first season.
Yes, they're like, so, oh, we haven't had any Pacey character growth from season one to now, so yes. this scene makes complete sense. Meanwhile, he has grown yeah. so much. In fact, he's like really good friends with Jack, a gay guy, and yet
yeah.
this is what we get.
Yeah, so it felt like so forced, this scene, for me. Mm-hmm. The only thing I liked about it is how Doug said, little brother. Like, I thought that's the only thing I liked about the scene.
Yeah. But basically, the gist of it, if you didn't rewatch the episode, was like Pacey basically calls Doug gay a bunch of times. Dougie yells, I'm not gay. Now both of you get off this dock. And it's like, it's a whole thing. It's really disgusting. Yeah, it's not fun to watch. It's
literally like an episode from season one.
Yeah, and we outgrew bizarre. That. Like, Pacey is not that guy anymore, at least from what we've seen. And so this is really feels like a giant step back. And it's just not fun to watch in any context.
No.
Yeah.
No, and then we have, like, once again, it's like, oh, okay, so we're back at the Rialto. It reopened. I thought it was reopening as something else. But once again, this is like, this writer only watched one episode yeah. of season one Dawson's Creek. That's why Jen is similar to her season one character. Oh my That's God, why the Rialto is still on. There.
And they're like, yeah. what is this Andy chick? Who is she? Let's just write I'll all just this
throw
shitty
her,
shit.
Throw her a storyline. Yeah, whatever.
She's yeah. the villain? Okay, let's make her the villain then. Great. Got yeah. the notes.
Who wrote this episode? I have words. No,
we have a bone to pick with them though.
Yeah. So yes. So Joey comes in and she's looking for Andy. She sees Rob is already sitting down. They run into each other and like Andy's like so excited to see Joey because mm-hmm. she's like, I'm having a great date. Like, this is so good. Like, you know, money's not everything and status isn't everything, but it doesn't hurt that he's the senator's son, like all this stuff. And Joey's like, slow down. I gotta tell you, like, Rob Logan is not a nice guy.
Yeah, she basically tells Andy that he's been like sexually harassing her. And Andy, and this kills me because we love Andy. I don't hold it against Andy what the writers are doing to her. They're really just throwing her in the trash because she says, like, oh, not everybody minds being looked at in a sexual way, Joey. Like, some people like it. And it's like, okay, like, let's not have Andy pretend that Joey is just a prude. Like, that's not what this is. And it's really, really frustrating.
Joey is just a prude.
She's a bit of a prude, but, like,
she's such a prude.
But the thing is for Andy to not believe Joey over a guy yeah. she just met is really frustrating. And Joey like says, like, he keeps hitting on me. And Andy just assumes that Joey's trying to ruin this for her. She's like, you know, Joey says, I want you to know what kind of guy Rob is. And Andy says that guys aren't exactly Joey's expertise. Between Dawson and her gay brother, Joey isn't sophisticated.
Which was weird too. It once again felt very forced.
It did. And
it's like, I felt as though it was a sloppy line. Like, mm-hmm. I think that you can say something like, it's different. Your own
fucking brother who you yeah. support now.
Yeah.
Like, it took yep. you a minute to get there, but you yeah, fully support him.
It's very strange. Yeah. Joey tells her to get a grip. And, yeah, so, and she says, Joey, staying home every Friday night isn't going to bring Dawson back. And she's like, oh, but you think a Nimrod like Rob Logan is a recipe for recovery? And Andy, if you think this little escapade is going to help you get over Pacey, you're wrong. Joey, I'm moving on with my life. Somehow I thought of you, of all people, would understand that and be happy for me. I guess I was wrong.
Is Joey wrong to bring up Pacey to Andy? Because we know that Andy is wrong in a lot of this conversation, right? Like, and yeah. I don't hold it against Andy. Again, like, we know the writers are throwing her down the trash. Mm-hmm. So, but is it wrong of Joey to bring up Pacey and say, like, try to get into Andy's mind of, like, why she might be dating this guy?
I think that, number one, they're not super best friends.
Yeah.
So yep. maybe this conversation is a little too intimate for Andy's comfort coming from Joey. Number two, I think that when Joey gets really heated, she like goes for the gut. Like, you know, she has no chill when she's in an argument.
Yeah, she'll go for the jugular for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that Joey is right for trying. However, like, how many times have you had a friend that's making terrible decisions with their significant others and they suck? And no matter how many times you're like, I don't know, like, I don't think they're good for you, blah, 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 they never listen. Yeah. I have never successfully gotten somebody being like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to break up with them right now.
Yeah.
Like, and then they actually do. Like, it's always like you have like these conversations over and over and over again. And they, it's like the person has to figure it out on their own. They cannot and will not listen to you. It's, I know it's frustrating because they're asking you for your advice, but everybody has to learn their own lessons.
Yeah. But I think, here's the thing. I think it's right. It's good of Joey to bring this up to Andy.
Yeah, she tried.
She did try. But I think, like, bringing up Pacey, and Andy was already, like, going to a really wrong place and saying, like, why are you trying to ruin this for me? But I think bringing up Pacey really isn't the right tactic here. But yeah, so Joey being the boss ass bitch, like, and she, that's the best part, is she's not best friends with Andy. Like, despite the fact that she went to help pick her up, which is also fucking ridiculous, they're not good friends. And so for her to not even just be like, well, fuck you then, and go home, is pretty amazing. She's a really good friend.
I really like how Joey doubles down, sits right next to Andy and Rob, distracts Rob with snacks and talks about the cheese and nachos.
Yeah, she's like, all this congealed stuff, it's not cheese, it's cheese food.
Yeah. I
love it.
So I do like how she doubles down and is like, no, like, I am going to monitor this. And I'm not going to let you be in a bad situation with this dude. Yeah.
Can I ask you, what is your, because we're at the movies here. We see they have nachos and goobers. What is your preferred movie snack if you're going popcorn. To a movie theater? Do you get
I love popcorn.
Okay. So, like, you're going to buy the, like, movie theater popcorn?
Yeah.
Do you bring, I do love you sneak in any snacks?
I love. Well, besides the carrots.
I forgot about the carrots.
I know. I just want to stick to popcorn when I'm at the movies. Like, I don't really go for candy at the movies.
Interesting. I'm a sneaker inner. What about you? Yeah, I'm a sneaker inner. I'll get popcorn if, like, Will wants it. I mean, it's not necessary for my viewing experience. But I will, usually as a kid, we would always, like, go to, like, a CVS or, like, a store beforehand, dollar store, whatever, and get drinks and snacks and sneak them in. And I was always a big fan of, like, I'll always do, like, a Coke Zero, like, I love, like, a soda with a movie. And then usually some type of candy. I like those, like, the, like, mini Kit Kat things or, like, the mini Reese's things. I'm, like, a chocolate gal. I do, like, sour stuff, but I'm definitely a chocolate person.
Yeah, I like fuzzy peaches, but every single time.
Those hoops?
Not peach rings. Oh. Fuzzy peaches are kind of the same, but they're like not spherical, but they're in a shape of a peach. They're gummies.
Got it.
They are like sour sweet, and those are like my favorite like non chocolate candy.
Yeah,
but I always get a stomach ache when I eat them.
Oh, well, that's not good.
Because I can't stop, so then you're just like,
you just eat too many of them. Yeah,
I'm like, oh, but I love them.
Next time I go to see a movie, I really want to like buy M&Ms and put like M&Ms in my popcorn, because I feel like the saucy and sweet would be great.
I feel like it's good in theory, but like, aren't you concerned about melty M&Ms and
I mean, is the popcorn really that warm?
No. I want popcorn. Me too. I love popcorn.
So before we get to the next scene at Graham's house, let's get a quick ad break in here and we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Let's talk about Jack and Jen's conversation here, because I think we're probably both on the same side. But Jen returns home to Graham's. And we have Jack just like looking at all this food, and Graham's like, there's ice cream in the freezer. Like, I love that there's already like this like shorthand with them.
Yeah.
I think it's sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, you know, like, I feel bad for, like, eating all of your food. And he's like, she says, well, you make my granddaughter happy, so it's all worth it.
And I love this, because I finally feel like we're in a place with Jen and Grams where, like, they have a decent relationship now.
Yes.
And that's really nice to see.
They respect each other's boundaries.
Yes.
So I think that's great. Mm-hmm. So as he's saying, like, as she's saying that you make my granddaughter happy, Jen comes in and she's not happy.
Love that.
And she's like, you know, I don't like to be surprised. I don't want to be sold off to, like, the highest bidder. He says that she's overreacting. And Grams is like, what's going on? And they tell about the setup. And she says, he makes me feel uncomfortable. He stares at me. And he's like, well, he's just infatuated with you. And she goes, I'm not infatuated with him. And I've told you that 1,000 times. And you don't listen to me. And now you're taking his side.
Yep.
This is a tough conversation between two friends.
And I think
it's real.
And I think that, but I think they both can be right. Like, I think Jack could have all the best intentions in the world, right? His intentions are pure. He thinks he knows Henry's feelings, and he thinks that maybe they'd be a good match. But he's not taking into account Jen's feelings, right? Like, no. She says, maybe he likes me, but that does not mean I like him. And on top of that, you didn't talk to me about this before you just set us up, which isn't fair because you're prioritizing Henry over me. And I thought we were really good friends. So
I thought we developed a closeness.
I thought we had developed a closeness.
Yeah. That will never go. I mean, I don't think that the things that he's accusing, she's accusing him of is true. I don't think that he's only focused on getting Henry laid. I don't think that he had any malicious intent in any of this. Yep. I think that he really thought that he was helping two people that he cares about.
Yep.
But Henry makes Jen feel uncomfortable. And that's the fact. Like, nobody wants to be ogled at.
I think the thing
maybe
is,
Andy in this episode. Yeah.
I think how Jack could have handled this, like, if we want to brainstorm how Jack could have done a better job, he could have approached Jen and said, listen, I've had conversations with Henry. He's really nervous around you, but he really does like you. Do you want to, like, maybe they could do a friend group hangout, right? And, like, take some of the pressure off. And that way it's not just on Jen and Henry. It's like a group. Like, there's other ways to approach this that aren't
Jack can be
awkward.
A good buffer.
Exactly. And he's friends with both of them. They could make it a double date. You know, it doesn't have to be. Or just a group hang.
I mean, Jack's too shy.
I know, but there's other ways you can handle right now.
So we get Dawson coming home, and of course Eve is there.
Because why wouldn't she be? This bitch just B&E's everyone's houses.
Yeah, and she's like, I want my picture back, Dawson. And he says, I want answers.
He says, why are you claiming to be a high school student? Why are you in a boat? And she says, you have every right to ask.
Are forthcoming.
I turn a dork into a stud in a matter of weeks, and this is the thanks I get. I'm sorry. Like, bitch, what exactly did you do, and how is Dawson considered a fucking stud?
He is hotter.
But that's not her. That's just fucking, had a glow up.
She's taking the ownership
He's had a glow up. That is nothing on her. He aged over the summer, except for the cascading bangs. Don't forget the cascading.
And he's like, you're immoral, you're a criminal, why were you in Graham's house?
I was looking for somebody to steal so I can sell it and get bus money and get out of here.
And then he's like, well, why is a faded old snapshot mean so much to you as someone who has a cold and detached heart? And she goes, so then she admits, like, I was never a student. The yacht isn't mine. I was squatting. Mm-hmm. And the girl in the photo is my mother.
Yeah, whom I've never met, and I'm trying to find. That picture is my only clue.
We get her sob story.
Yeah, and this is, well, we have a voicemail about this, but we'll get into it here. She found the photo last Christmas. She asked her folks, and they told her the truth. She's adopted. And she said she did nothing. She had no angst, and it crept up on her. She just had an urge to seek out the missing pieces of the puzzle. All she knows is that her mother lived along the East Coast And so she's been bouncing around asking questions. And she says, I haven't found her. Not yet. Not here. It's time for me to move along. First of all, bitch, you just bopping around hoping you're going to fucking find her on the East Coast?
The entire coast.
Do you know how big the fucking East Coast is? On top of that, first of all, if you're looking for her, fucking ask people about her. Fucking ask Dawson. Maybe he fucking knows her. She's done nothing. She's just played it so coy and fucked around with Dawson and pretended to be a fucking stripper and a high school student. What are you doing?
But how did she end up in Graham's house? Like, I feel like she knows more than she's saying.
I mean, possibly because of what we find out later. Like, she probably does. Like, she's probably figured something out. But she hasn't said anything about that to Dawson. She says, I play a role so no one can get close to me. Most people are good with Eve, the actress. You want to see in my screwed up little soul. Once you get past lying and stealing and using sex as a weapon, there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Where's the good stuff? Yeah. I've seen none.
I'd like to think you'll remember me and smile. Like, bitch, you've done nothing. She's such a one-dimensional piece of shit character. Like, she's nothing. She's pretty much just a sex symbol for Dawson, and that is it. And now they're trying to tell us, not show us, that there's more to her, that there's layers beneath Eve.
Right.
Bitch, wait, right. Tell us that for the past fucking four episodes. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen that much growth. I mean,
no.
So if like saying like this was the only episode or the last episode that we've seen her or we see her, yeah. Which I mean, I'm led to believe that's totally not true. Then, yeah, like it would be very like, what the point? Like I until like we got to the end credits scene, I thought that this was the end of Eve.
You thought she
like,
was just going to leave and that was it.
Yeah, like I thought that she got closure. She's looking for her mom, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and at that point, then it's like, well, what's the story? Is it to loosen Dawson up? Is it to wreak some havoc and put like a wedge between Joey and Dawson? Like, what was her point?
Yeah, why was she here?
Now, what we'll get to, I feel like we're going to see more of her and learn more of her. So I feel like she has more potential now because of the photo situation than she ever did in the previous five episodes. Because now there's a point. Like now we know why she's there. Right. And now we know where this can go. But aside before this, there was no point, and it was like kind of stupid. Now I feel like this kind of saved the Eve situation, when we'll discuss how practical or stupid or ridiculous or soap opery it is. But like if this ended here and they were just like, yeah, like she's deep but you didn't know that, then I would say, okay, this is fucking stupid.
I guess there's like potential, but to me the setup is all wrong. Like,
I mean, is it though? Because like we have spent five episodes wondering like what Eve is up to, like who is she, what is she doing, and I feel like we got like a buildup, and it's like now we've opened a door and we kind of know the truth. Like I feel like this episode is like the reason why like Eve's shit was worth it. Now you've seen this before. If they just say like, if you know, if nothing really comes with this and they were just like, okay, whatever, like, hey Jen, like I'm your half sister, like what's up dude, like peace.
I just think like the setup, if they wanted us to give a shit about Eve, they needed to give us more than what they've given us so far. You can't just come in at this hour, five episodes in after we meet this character, and tell us we're supposed to care. Because to me...
theoretically, we have four more seasons to develop a closeness to Eve.
She's so one-dimensional. Like, again, they're telling us, not showing us, and that's my big problem with this.
Yeah, but okay, so like, do you know everything about somebody else in 5 days? No, like you learn as you go.
To me, they're like purposely making her one-dimensional in these episodes. Like, she's
they're just not purposely doing anything. These writers fucking suck ass, and they don't understand the characters, and the show writer hates the show.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything on purpose. They think they're doing a great job. They think this is, like, the most innovative thing ever. And meanwhile, this is, like, a Days of Our Lives episode, and we're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, they think that they're doing great big things. In reality, it's they don't know trash. What they're up to.
Yeah.
I think that this gives it some credibility. Like, this is like, okay, this is where we're going. Where does it go? Who knows? It's probably going to be a disaster mess. It's probably going to, like, really yeah. knock Jen off of her, you know, really good course that she's going on right now. Mm-hmm. And who knows? Or maybe, finally, Jen can finally, like, appreciate some family.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Maybe that's a good thing. Like, her parents suck and they don't even want to see her. So maybe a demonic half sister could be good for Jen.
So let me ask you right here, because we're already talking about it. But who, like, how do you think this situation happened? Or do you think we'll know, right? Like, is it her half sister? Is it a full sister? Like, why was she
okay?
So,
okay, this is what happened, because Graham said, let's just jump to the end of the episode. So, Dawson comes in with an air conditioner and he brings it up to Graham's room or somebody's room.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees a picture of a woman with Graham's and he goes, like, hey, Graham's, like, who's that person in the photo? And she's like, it's Jesus Christ. He's like, no, the other one, the other one.
Ridiculous, by the way.
Okay, so she goes, that's my daughter. She was 18 in that photo right before she went away for college. So that leads me to believe that she went to college and got pregnant at college.
Okay.
So and that's when she gave the baby up for adoption because she was young. Graham's definitely doesn't know about her because she was probably off at college when this happened. So Graham's doesn't know that she had a baby because she's, like, very religious. So she can't say that she had sex out of wedlock. So, she hid the pregnancy from Graham's and she had the baby while she was away at college, and she went off and met Jen's parents, who are well off, because I can only assume because they live in Manhattan, and she lived, like, a good, well-to-do life when they eventually had Jen a few years later.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that does track. I mean, I'm curious. We'll have to see what happens, but it's, I just feel like all this, like, there wasn't, I don't know. She's not a redeemable character to me. Like, she's not three-dimensional. It's just, like, a shit show. And I'm not.
Look, like, let's see how this.
Let's see how this plays out.
Because it could be, if, you know, if this doesn't really, like, come of everything when this whole big secret's revealed, then, yeah, it's pointless. If they somehow, like, make it so that, like, Jen develops, like, a relationship with her, then maybe it's worth something.
Maybe it'll all be worth it.
Maybe she makes a relationship with Graham's. Like, maybe it's worth it. We don't even know Jen's mom. We've never met her. All we know is that they kicked her out. They don't want her to go home. The father kind of has the last say. So we don't know anything about Jen's. This is the first time we ever saw a picture of Jen's mom.
Yeah, we don't even know what she looks like. Yeah, that was the first time we ever saw her. So, yeah, that's so true. We'll see. I'm just not confident. And then, again, this is me saying this from a point where I do not remember how all this goes down. I'm just not happy with how we arrived here, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, like, at the very least, it'll open up a door for us to meet Jen's parents, which hopefully is something that we've wanted for a really long time.
Yeah, that's so true. That's true.
At the very least. So going back, we get, okay, so we're still at Dawson's. He hands back the photo and she's like, you're a sweet boy. And, she's out of there, blah, blah, blah.
For you.
Jen, is back on the lawn and Jack comes with, like, the white flag waving in the wind, and he says, believe it or not, I did the Henry thing for you and not for Henry. I just don't want you to be alone. And she's like, well, this was our place and you, like, jeopardized that. Like, you know, you had to bring him to our special spot. Like, I thought that you were having fun.
Yeah, this I can connect with because it's like it does make sense that she would be upset because it's their thing to do. And she feels like he violated that. Like, that's a fair thing to say, I think.
Yeah, sure. And he's just like, I just know that you want more out of your life than just like hanging out with me. And he's like, you know, I've had lovers, I've had boyfriends, but I've never had a boy who is first and only a friend and who wasn't trying to secretly get in my pants or walk away from me the second I didn't want to sleep with him. Mm-hmm. And someone who likes me for me. And she's like, and like, unless like you change your mind about some things, like you and me are like the perfect BFF pair.
Yep.
And she's like, and actually, I just feel like this was more about you than it was about me. And he says, I don't have a crush on Henry. And she goes, I just think it's you who's the one who's lonely for a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that could be accurate. I also think that Jack might feel like he's either not ready because he wasn't ready last season when Joey tried to set him up, or he maybe is like, I'm the only guy at Cape Side that's gay. Like, gay population one. This isn't New York. And Jen says, don't worry about that. Like, you're going to have a fantastic love life. It will be awesome. It will be terrifying. And when it happens, it will change your life. I have all the faith that things happen when they're least expected. And of course the sprinklers go off on them again. Mm-hmm. It's really sweet. I really love how they're so supportive of each other. But I think it's tough for Jack. I mean, he is in a small town, and if he's the only one who's like out, that's tough. You know, who is he supposed to date?
Exactly. Who will he date? I don't know. Like, I feel like that they have to go to like Boston or Provincetown. Like, they have to go
somewhere
to like a city to meet somebody. I don't know if Cape Side is the place for him. Ultimately. So we're back at Joey's work, and Andy comes and speaks to Joey, and she goes, Rob isn't here. I guess you guys had like a wild night last night. And Andy insists that nothing happened. Not that you deserve an explanation, but after the movie, he walked me home and brought me to my front door, and he was a perfect gentleman. And Joey's like, he's a prince of darkness. So
I love how Joey speaks about Rob. This is when Rob approaches and he says, slacking off on the job, Potter. Last night it was quite a threesome. Next time I'll want to be in the middle.
Barf.
Yeah. And then he says, I thought we closed it at 8 on those nights. And she says, oh, well, no one comes in after 7. You know that. And he fucking just straight up fires her.
Yeah. I mean, this is because she won't play his games. Yep. So she is fired, and it's ridiculous.
I don't understand how Andy can see this and still defend him.
No, she's defending Joey. She tries to help. She's like, you know, this is a misunderstanding. Like, don't fire her. And Joey says, don't bother. And she goes off on him. She's like, you know what? You know, the day your out of whack libido lands you in so deep that even your daddy can't save your ass, don't call me as a character witness. Rotten hell.
I love it.
Yeah, and she walks off. Andy is looking at her while Rob is smug as a bug in Zerug. What an asshole.
Yeah, he truly is the worst. It's like, as if we didn't have enough characters to dislike this season, they're like, let's just throw you another one.
Yeah.
And then we kind of already talked about the next scene where Grams finds the picture of Jen's mom. So,
Is the mom's name Ellen or Helen? Did you catch that?
I thought she said Helen.
Okay. I wasn't quite sure.
I could be wrong. It might be Ellen.
It's one of those two. I couldn't quite hear. So, So there we are. Here's an episode. It was a mess.
It was definitely my least favorite of the season, for sure.
Yeah, totally. I do feel as though I'm very intrigued by the Eve storyline. Like, I want to see where it goes because, I don't know, like a surprise half sister who's a demon is very interesting to me. Like, What can this, what can happen from this? It's very peculiar. A part of me feels like, I don't know, like Eve's probably a con woman and maybe she's just saying that she's a half-sister to try to get money from Jen's family. Like maybe she saw like Jen's parents in like a page 5 news article and is like, I am going to scam you out of all of your money and you're going to have to pay me. And I love I feel like that's a huge possibility. Maybe there's some lying deception in this. Maybe it's not as black and white as we thought. Like, you know, Eve can really do anything. Like, she's literally a sociopath, demon straight from hell. So anything is possible. But until I'm just interested to see how this all plays out. And I hope that Jen protects her little heart. Dawson is now holding on to a secret. So it's like, when is Dawson going to combust and bring this up to Jen?
Yeah, I guess so. How long, how many episodes do you give it until Jen finds out, let's say?
Yeah, next episode.
Okay. Well, speaking of next episode, it is called Secrets and Lies.
There we go. Secrets and lies. I mean, this is it. Like, there are secrets and there are lies, and we will uncover what that's all about.
Yep. Yeah, I can't wait. I really didn't like this episode, as obvious as when we were talking about it. I just have no interest in the Eve storyline. I just think they didn't build her up enough for me to care. What I care more about, honestly, is how General will react to all of this. That's more where I care.
But it's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah. Shall we get into the feedback?
Yes.
All righty. So from Dirtbag Kelly, he says, of course Andy would go on a date with Rob because the writers continue to bury her. And he agrees with me. Who offers a lick of their popsicle to people? It's disgusting.
Disturbing.
Yes. Yeah, he says he did enjoy, just like you, enjoy Joey sitting next to them at the movie theater.
She was having a great time.
Goober. I love when she offers them goobers.
But also, like, she spent like 4 paychecks like on that movie food.
She did. She really was going all out. She's like, if I'm going to go through the shtick, I'm going to stick with it. And Kelly says, only 2 more episodes of this trash till hopefully our queen Andy makes a triumphant comeback. Keep up the great Andy. Work, ladies.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I don't know, like, how they're going to get her back to the other side. This is going to be very interesting to watch play out.
Yeah. And Karen has some insight. I thought this was really interesting. She says that there's a book that she's mentioned in the past that she doesn't want to say the name because it's spoilery. But she does say that the Pacey-Joey relationship was not intended in the beginning of season 3. It happened after that showrunner was fired mid-season. Joshua Jackson led a cast revolt. After all, they all hated the storylines, which we'll see when we get there. She says there's one storyline later that tipped the production over and led to a shutdown. And she says you can still prefer Andy and Pacey, but Joey and Pacey was a mid-season idea. They were hanging out because Dawson asked Pacey to look after her. And apparently, this is some tea, Joshua Jackson was dating the actress who played Eve while she was on the show.
How did Joshua Jackson get her?
And also, isn't that awkward because he dated Katie Holmes? So, like, there was some real life drama on the set when all this drama was going on. We'd love to see it.
Jennifer also wrote in on Twitter and was kind of telling the same tale.
Yeah.
That it was not pre-planned.
Which is interesting because it feels like it is. Like, it feels like
because
it is.
Because we know what's happening.
I know.
So, like, you know what's happening. I kind of know because of,
it just feels like, forced, like, life. It just feels forced that, like, yeah, Dawson said to keep an eye on her. He didn't say to be best friends with her. Like, it just feels like very...
But it developed naturally because, like, they really, like, have more in common than Joey and Dawson does.
They do, but I just think, like, some of the stuff, like Joey skipping school, like, that shit pisses me off because it's just so unrealistic. But and then, of course, we have an amazing voicemail from Kimmy, so I'm going to play it. This is from Kimmy.
Hi, ladies. Had to hop on the voicemail for this one. Did I understand this correctly? Eve is traveling up and down the Eastern Seaboard asking questions about her birth mom. This is her chosen method of trying to find someone. She is going to every single city, town, village, island, and cove just asking questions. What? But okay, let's say this in any way makes sense. Eve has not asked anyone one single fucking question. All she does is ask Dawson to have sex, like somehow Dawson's dick is a magic eight ball that will give her the answers she seeks. Can we just take a second to realize Eve is literally in the house she has been traveling up and down the eastern seaboard looking for and couldn't find the photo that fucking Dawson, cascading bangs Dawson, found after seeing the photo one time. Now, Eve is doomed to go up and down the eastern seaboard, eventually, as Jess says, ending up on some sort of sex registry, solely because she is more interested in being a creep than a sleuth. Why? Why didn't they just vanquish her like a demon from Charmed? Because that would be less absurd than this. This storyline is wild. But shout out to my girl, Joey. She is a real one. Standing by Andy, even though Andy gaslights her with that hair and those bits. Also, Grams. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, as interpreted by one of our gifted young Sunday school students. This show is pure comedy. Thank you for getting me to rewatch it. You both are magic.
You're magic.
I can't tell you how much I laughed listening to that voice.
How many shakes of Dawson's dick does it take to tell you an answer about where Eve's mom is?
Where is my mommy? Pump, 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 pump. Like, honestly, it really is. And, like, she's so right. Like, Eve. And here's the thing. Like, Eve is just going up and down the coast seducing young teen boys. And, like, have you seen my mother? Are you my mother? Have you seen her?
But, like, asking no one who's actually of, like, Jen's mom's age that would actually know her.
Yes.
It's like, I would be going. Insane. Yeah. I would be going to, like, Mitch and Gale, not fucking Dawson. Like, and she, she didn't ask. I never heard her ask one inquiring question.
Yeah. I just about think any of this. I just think you're it's just stealing so boats. Funny. Yeah, she's stealing, like, boats, working at strip clubs, throwing stripper parties, trying to seduce teen boys. How is this some kind of detective agency?
Yeah, she's not even, like, under, like, the radar. She's, like, really, like, you know what? No. Like, if I get arrested and going to jail, that would be more successful than me actually, like, finding my mom.
Bitch, hang a fucking flyer. Like, I don't know why you need to be so coy about your mom. Have you seen this mom? Like, that's what I'm saying. Hang a fucking flyer. Why is she acting so coy about it? If you're really honestly and truly looking for your mother, you're not going to play coy. You're going to be like, my name is Eve. Hold up the photo. Have you seen this woman? No? Okay, on to the next fucking town along the East Coast. What a every freaking shit town. Show.
I mean, was there Google at this point?
Probably was Ask Jeeves.
Dear Jeeves, who is my mom?
Jeeves, who's my mother? Yeah. Who's my mother? It's fucking absurd. And thank you, Kimmy, for that voicemail, because it was truly. Yeah, please leave us more voicemails, because honestly, it was magical hearing your voice and your frustration.
Yeah. Dear Jeeves, where can I get the crappiest clothes that are humanly possible that show zero, 100% skin?
Yes. Absolutely ridiculous. Thank you, Kimmy. Thank you, everybody, for sending in your feedback. That was amazing. This episode fucking sucked.
Dear Jeeves, how do I steal a boat?
Dear Jeeves.
And you know she has to go to the library to ask Jeeves.
Oh my god, yeah, she's all these things. And she's probably wearing the, like, ugly ass brown wig that she wore when she was a stripper, because she needs to be in a disguise for whatever reason. Why are you in disguise when you're actively looking for somebody? Fucking put up flyers, Eve. Go to the library, make photocopies, and fucking paste that shit all over town. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Oh, I can't.
What are you doing? I think that she's on to something. Like, there's no reason why she'd be sneaking around Graham's house without knowing that is her family.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, maybe we'll find out next episode. Is it time to move on to the fashion hour?
Yeah. Yeah, let me ask Jeeves where the fashion hour pictures
Jeeves,
are.
Who wore the best outfit this episode?
No, and like, you know, like when you're a kid, all you ask Jeeves is like, dear Jeeves, like, what will I be when I grow up? It's like, Jeeves is not a genie.
No, Jeeves doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
No.
Like the rest of us.
Fashion Hour. No. We have our two awards, the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit and the Paul Rudd certificate for the most timeless outfit. My first nomination for the Rachel Green Award is Jack. And this is Jack's like laying on the quilt that Grams sold. Well, didn't sell at the craft market. She made it 100%. She just didn't sell it. So they're laying there. Jack has his beefy arms out. He's wearing this like tank top that is gray and has like cording on the back. And then he's wearing like a yellowish beige short khaki shorts. No shoes because you don't, well, actually, you have to take off the shoes on the quilt or else Grams would get really upset.
Oh, she'd be very upset. She's certainly a shoes off household.
Yeah. And I just felt like this was like a very like 90s like teen boy outfit. Like doesn't quite match. Doesn't you kind of look like a little grody in it. I just felt like it was very like beefcakey.
And I feel like he's reached his form of like sportsman Jack. Like this is a sportsman Jack outfit. He has like a tank top on to show off the football muscles. Yeah, I think it's a good look. And let's be real. I think his name's Kurt. Is it Kurt Smith or something? He's like pretty Kurt built. Smith. Like he's looking good. Yeah, why wouldn't he want to show it off?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I asked for a hot one in the
here's the heartthrob.
One,
there you go.
Here's my hot one. My second nomination is Andy, and this is Andy's date outfit. Now, these bangs were looking better, but I think somebody got a little bang trim between this and the last
episode.
They're
like, oh my god, they nearly touched her eyebrows. Time to snip them. Yeah.
Now they're like 2 inches off of her eyebrows, unfortunately, and the hair is definitely shorter. It was looking better last episode, and she definitely was forced to get a haircut. Mm-hmm. But she is wearing some like little like butterfly clip barrettes type of things in her hair. She's wearing a choker. Her dress is a white dress with like dark blue flowers on it, mm-hmm. and it's short. It's like above the knee. This is like a very cute date outfit, and I felt like it was 90s because of the silhouette, the straight across top, the skinny straps, and I think that it looks like something like you would wear to like the country club.
Yeah, I think that this is like one of the first like grown-up outfits we've seen Andy in. She's always in these like cutesy outfits, and finally they give her a more like adult mature dress. Like definitely the skinny spaghetti straps were a thing. They were a moment. Let's not go back to that moment, please, because they make me look like a linebacker. But on her, it is very cute. I like the floral look for her.
Yeah. My last nomination is Jen in the sex dress. So this is a very thin tank top dress that goes above the knee. It is skin tight and nearly see-through, and there's butterflies on it, and her hair is looking pretty cute. Like, it's looking, like, wavy, and she has some little barrette in her hair, too.
Did you notice it's a butterfly?
Oh, I'm legitimately seeing the butterfly.
This brings me back. I'm pretty sure I had a clip that was either this or something like it that was, like, a dragonfly, and they were, like, very popular.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, so this dress leaves little to the imagination, and she looks freaking spectacular in it. I just don't know if it's appropriate for high school.
No, she looks fucking amazing. Like, it's like you said, it's skin tight. It's like, and of course she's like sucking on a bomb pop at the same time. And her hair is looking great. Like, this is definitely, in my opinion, probably best hair Jen, like, we've seen. I like it better than even the straight hair in season one. I think the curls, I think like a girl like Jen needs some curl in her hair because she can have a wild side. And so you don't want the boring hair, you know, you want
like
fun hair.
The edginess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think here, as much as I like Jack's outfit and I want to reward him, I think this is the best Jen has looked, and you have to reward the sex outfit because that's what it is. It's a sex outfit and she is killing it. So I'm going to give the point to Jen.
Yeah. My next nomination is, or excuse me, our next category is the Paul Rudd Certificate of Timelessness Award. My first nomination is Eve, and this is her pink dress. So this is like a tube top dress, but like tube tops are kind of coming back. But like what I really liked about this dress, besides the color, which is like baby pink, is the back, which it kind of ties in the back and you get like a little back peekaboo. Mm-hmm. So cute. She's wearing like a simple silver necklace. It's not a choker. It's like goes to, I don't know, her upper chest. Mm-hmm. And I just think that she, like, this is like a cute little dress to romp around in.
Yeah.
Ruin some lives.
Something like this is certainly timeless because, like, a tube top dress is going to be, you know, they're around. I think this baby pink color is definitely of this time, but you could still see it now. Obviously, leaves very little to the imagination. I'm pretty sure I could see her belly button in this. But, yeah, it's like she's a sex symbol. Like, it is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. My next nomination is Pacey. Now, Pacey this is his like detective outfit and he's like harassing Doug, but he's wearing this like nice like blue button down shirt that's like shorter sleeves. It's just like a nice color for him. He's wearing dark pants, just like a casual look, but he doesn't look like he's not wearing a Hawaiian shirt and he's not like, I don't know, he or a vest. He always dresses like a dork. So like this is kind of a little cool for him.
No, I like this. Like I think besides it being kind of on the baggier side, like you could see a guy wearing this. It would be like at least a size and a half smaller nowadays. Yeah. But I like the color on him. I think it's just like a nice casual blue button down shirt. No, I like this. And his hair doesn't look like shit, so that's good news too.
Yeah, he's looking good. Yeah. My last nomination is another Jen outfit. This is like her outfit where she like talks to Henry and then yells at Jack. And I just thought it was like really cute because her hair is still wavy, but it's up and it has like a little like front pieces in the front, and it's like such a cute little ponytail. And she's wearing some jean shorts that are frayed on the bottom, which I think is now of the times. Mm-hmm. Her shirt has like a little bit of like LuLaRoe energy, yeah, but it's a blue shirt. Yeah, it could be seen. I don't know.
I think the shirt, here's the thing. If this shirt wasn't so fugly, I might give it to Jen. But I really hate the pattern. And like you said, it gives me big Lululemon or whatever the hell it's called.
LuLaRoe. Yeah, LuLaRoe.
Okay, I don't know. I don't wear them. I just know they exist and that apparently there's a documentary about it.
Yeah, I watched the documentary.
But was it good? Should I watch it?
It was interesting. Okay. The accessory that puts it over the edge is the sweat that they spritzed
so much sweat. And not only that, but they like painted her red too. They're like, we need to make you look like you're overheating.
Yeah. So out of all of these photos, we get 4 out of 6 are sweaty pictures.
Yeah, there's so many sweaty ones. I think the thing is her hair is so cute in this.
Isn't it cute?
Like, yes, like it's what I would dream my hair would look like when it's pulled up because you have like the PC bits in the front and it looks like I didn't even mean to look this cute. The shorts are cute. I just really hate the top. I just don't think it's like a cute top at all. And I think that I am going to give the point to PC. I think he's earned it because even though he's made like a little bit of progress, right? Like he's looking a lot better than he was. And so I want to reward that. So I'm going to get the point to PC this week.
Oh, look at that. He's growing. We love a success story.
Yes.
So that's it. Congratulations to Jen. Was Jen winning the first one?
Yes.
I don't even remember. It was 3 seconds ago. Congratulations to Jen and PC for winning your award.
Yes.
Cha-cha-cha. This was a interesting episode, Jessica. We made it through. We apparently only have two more episodes until things kind of get back to normal.
I hope so. I'm just like, I'm ready to turn the corner. Like, in the beginning, it was fun to trash how bad it was. Now I'm to the point where I'm like, I miss my characters as they were. I miss Andy being a rootable character. I really love Jack and Jen, so that hasn't changed. But I just miss some of the old times of season two. So I'm hoping that once we turn a corner in this season, it'll
we're missing when Dawson's Creek had a heart.
Yeah, it just feels so tropey. At the very, you know what? On the bright side, you know what we didn't have to talk about this week? Football. Sports.
Oh, yes.
I haven't missed it. I'm sorry. Yes. We still don't really know what the pool noodles are. Somebody told me it was for something, and I don't remember because I didn't frankly care that much.
Oh, okay. Well, that was
they like
awfully
push
helpful.
Them to like build up strength. I don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I also want to shout out in terms of feedback, Temi. Temi sends us so much
Temi
good
is legit
nuggets and so funny all the time. So thank you, Temi, for your Twitter feedback.
Also, we should say that I believe it was Linda who said, was it Linda's brother? Linda's someone in Linda's life told her that I was right about the football
situation,
about the four ways to get the football down the field. Thank you. Thank you. I will now be accepting all my sports awards. Thank you.
I guess.
I told you.
Hopefully we can learn a little bit more about football.
I don't want to learn any more about football.
Just a little bit more lessons. So once again, next week you'll be getting our surprise. Don't be that excited.
It's not that exciting. It's a shorter podcast. It's just something to tide you over, you know, until we're back.
Yeah. So we got that coming. Boy Meets World, if you want to check out Boy Meets World, we'll have an episode up on its regular day on Thursday. If you haven't listened to our Halloween Town 2 podcast that just came out this past weekend on the 9th, check that out. It was a lot of fun. It was just Jess and I. Mm-hmm. Coming later this month is Interview with a Vampire. And that was Sarah Carradine, and that will be fun. And then on to November content.
Oh my gosh, can you believe how fast time flies?
I know, I gotta start my Christmas shopping.
Oh god, I don't even want to think about it. And then beyond that, you can always hear my voice over at Post Show Recaps on Community Building and now Succession. So give that a listen if that is something that you're going to be watching. The new season starts October 17th. Super excited to be covering that with Grace and Josh. So go give that a listen too. And if you'd like, become a patron, because that's where I am. As Sarah can now attest, I am there a lot of the time. So if you want to chat with me.
Indeed.
I'm there.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's everything I have. You can find us at Shit90sPod, Twitter, Instagram. We have Shit90sPod.com. If you want to be like Kimmy and be awesome and send us a voicemail, we will play it on the podcast because we love getting them. We love hearing your voices. I feel like it adds so much depth to what you're saying is when we can hear the frustration, the laughs. I really enjoy getting them. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, please do. We love getting them. And also reviews. We just got a new review. Sarah, we should read it. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up right now. We got a new review, and it says, this podcast is a constant highlight in my week. Jess and Sarah are hilarious and give me the 90s nostalgia fix I seek. Listen if you want to remember better days. And that was by Kimmy. So thank you so much, Kimmy.
Oh, thank you, Kimmy. Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. So we really appreciate any reviews you all can give us because it does boost us up a little bit so more people will find the podcast and we'll just have more feedback to read, which is always exciting. So thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all next week we'll talk to you, but then we'll talk to you again the week after. So have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.